జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ విహారే జయ గోపీజన వాళ జయ గిరీవరధారే జయ గిరీవరధారే జయ గోపీ జనవల్లభ జయ గిరి వరధారే జయ గిరి వరధారే జయ యశోదానందన జయ బ్రజ జనరంజన జయ యశోదానందన జయ బ్రజ జనరంజన జయ జామున తీరవన చారి జయ కుంజ విహారే జయ కుంజ విహారే చారు జయ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస రాజకాచార్య స్తోత్ర సత్య శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి మహారాజ్ ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జయ అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవబింద కీ జయ రామాచార్య హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కీ జయ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతమ్ కీ జయ శ్రీ వేద శాస్త్ర కీ జయ శ్రీ ఇస్కాన్ న్యూ రమణ రతి అలక్ష్వాధామ్ కీ జయ అలక్ష్వ భక్తబింద కీ జయ
stuck in our heads all day.
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 7, Text Number 3.
Yage chakarda magrihe dvija devahutyam. यज्ञे च कर्म गृह द्विज देवहूत्याम् श्रीवि समं नवभिरात्मगतिं स्वमात्रे ऊचे ययात्मशमलं गुणसङ्गपङ्कम् अस्मिन् विधूय कपिलस्य गतिं प्रपेदे यज्ञे च कर्दमगृहे द्विजदेवहूत्याम् स्त्रीवि समं नवभिरात्मगतिं स्वमात्रे ऊचे ययात्मशमलं गुणसङ्गपङ्कम् अस्मिन् विधूय कपिलस्य गतिं प्रपेदे
चकर्दमा गृहे विजदेवहूत्याम्
Jagge took birth. Cha also. Kardama. The Prajapati named Kardama. Grihe in the house of. Dvija. O Brahmana. Devahutyam in the womb of Devahuti. Strivihi. By women. Samam, accompanied by. Navabihi, by nine. Atmagatim, spiritual realization. Swamatre, unto his own mother. Uche, uttered. Yaya, by which. Atma shamalam, coverings of the spirit soul. Guna Sangha, associated with the modes of nature. Pankam, mud. Asmin, this very life. Vidhuya, being washed off. Kapilasya, of Lord Kapila. Gatim, liberation. Prapede, achieved. Translation. The Lord then appeared as the Kapila incarnation, being the son of the Prajapati Brahmana Kardama and his wife Devahuti, along with nine other women, sisters. He spoke to his mother about self-realization, by which in that very lifetime she became fully cleansed of the mud of the material modes and thereby achieved liberation, the path of Kapila. Purport. The instructions of Lord Kapila to his mother Devahuti are fully described in the third canto, chapters 25 to 32 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and anyone who follows the instructions can achieve the same liberation obtained by Devahuti. The Lord spoke Bhagavad Gita, and thereby Arjuna achieved self-realization. And even today, anyone who follows the path of Arjuna can also attain the same benefit as Sri Arjuna. The scriptures are meant for this purpose. Foolish, unintelligent persons make their own interpretations by imagination and thus mislead their followers, causing them to remain in the dungeon of material existence. However, simply by following the instructions imparted by Lord Krishna or Lord Kapila, one can obtain the highest benefit even today. The word Atmagatim is significant in the sense of perfect knowledge of the Supreme. One should not be satisfied simply by knowing the qualitative equality of the Lord and the living being. One should know the Lord as much as can be known by our limited knowledge. It is impossible for the Lord to be known perfectly, as He is even by such liberated persons as Shiva or Brahma, so what to speak of other demigods or men in this world? Still, by following the principles of the great devotees and the instructions available in the scriptures, one can know to a considerable extent the features of the Lord. His Lordship Kapila, the incarnation of the Lord, instructed his mother fully about the personal form of the Lord, and thereby she realized the personal form of the Lord and was able to achieve a place in the Vaikuntha Loka, where Lord Kapila predominates. Every incarnation of the Lord has his own abode in the spiritual sky. Therefore, Lord Kapila also has his separate Vaikuntha planet. The spiritual sky is not void. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, and in each of them, the Lord, by his innumerable expansions, predominates. And the pure devotees who are there also live in the same style as the Lord and his eternal associates. When the Lord descends personally or by his personal plenary expansions, such incarnations are called Ansha, Kala, Guna, Yuga, and Manvantara incarnations. And when the Lord's associates descend by the order of the Lord, Such incarnations are called Shaktyavesh incarnations. But in all cases, the incarnations are supported by the invulnerable statements of the authorized scriptures and not by any imagination of some self-interested propagandist. Such incarnations of the Lord in either of the above categories always declare the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the ultimate truth. The impersonal conception of the Supreme Truth is just a process of negation of the form of the Lord from the mundane conception of the Supreme Truth. The living entities, by their very constitution, are spiritually as good as the Lord, and the only difference between them is that the Lord is always supreme and pure, without contamination by the modes of material nature, whereas the living entities are apt to be contaminated by association with the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. This contamination by the material modes can be washed off completely by knowledge, renunciation, and devotional service. Devotional service to the Lord is the ultimate issue, and therefore those who are directly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord not only acquire the necessary knowledge in spiritual science, but also attain detachment from material connection, and are thus promoted to the kingdom of God by complete liberation, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samyati taitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. Even in the non-liberated stage, a living entity can be directly engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, or his plenary expansions like Rama and Narasimha. Thus, with the proportionate improvement of such transcendental devotional service, the devotee makes definite progress towards Brahma Gatim or Atma Gatim and ultimately attains Kapilasya Gatim or the abode of the Lord without difficulty. The antiseptic potency of devotional service to the Lord is so great that it can neutralize the material infection even in the present life of a devotee. A devotee does not need to wait for his next birth for complete liberation. Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurvay Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prayishtaya Vithuve Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gaurvani Pachayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatam Ambande Shri Gurundina Taranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So we're continuing from this wonderful chapter which is describing this scheduled incarnations of the Lord. And this is the third text and it's describing a very special, very important incarnation. Because this incarnation is not only instructing his mother, but he's instructing all of us. And he's giving knowledge which will benefit humanity at large. So his incarnation is very important because he's giving knowledge. And as we hear in Vedic culture, it is said that etat janma, safalyam dehina miha dehishu praner arter dia vacha shreyam acharanam sada. So all of the intelligent human beings, they must use their energy, they must use their pran, they must use their wealth, their facilities, their resources, praner arter dia and vacha, their intelligence and their words, in order to benefit the people at large in the society. Not only the people, but all the living beings. So especially by giving knowledge, one is helping especially the human beings at the topmost level. It is said that anam danam param danam, that to give foodstuffs to people, is considered the topmost charity. But beyond that, it is said vidya danam atav param, that even higher than giving food, although if you give prasadam, it becomes also transcendental, but even giving higher than giving food is to give knowledge, vidya. So that is what Kapila is coming to give, actually. So this is a very unique incarnation of the Lord, because he's coming to teach his mother. And Actually, he's very early. He's in the first yuga, in the Satya Yuga, Krita Yuga, and he's coming to instruct. Because Lord Brahma, he has the duty. He did the secondary creation, the Visarga. And then he has different sons, the Prajapatis. So Kardama Muni and Devahuti, they had the job that they had to help to populate. And therefore they had a very special son called Kapila. And they had also 9 daughters. So Kapila, not only he's coming to teach by giving knowledge, but he's also coming to teach by helping his family as well. So that's a very important thing. It's explained in the Bhagavatam that Pitona Sasyat, Janinina Sasyat, that you should not be a mother, you should not be a father, you should not be a child, you should not be a ruler, if you cannot deliver your dependents from birth and death. So therefore Kardama Muni, he was already a renunciate from his young age. But because he had the service of a grihastha life, therefore he produced progeny, the 9 daughters and 1 of son with his wife. He also gave very nice facilities for his wife to travel around the universe in his spiritual spaceship. So normally grihastha means that we have a house, but he made a flying griha. So he was a very powerful personality. So then they were praying for a special son who could come so he could also become renounced in the later end of his life. So his father was very exemplary, and not only that, but the son became very exemplary. So this son, he's teaching the Bhagavata Dharma. He's teaching, which we hear, Prabhupada also produced the separate book, which is the teachings of Lord Kapila. And we also have these various chapters in the 3rd canto of his teachings, as Prabhupada is explaining in the purport about those teachings. So not only he's giving Bhagavata Dharma, but Kapila also is giving the Sankhya philosophy. So the Sankhya philosophy is also very important. In Western philosophy, that's called ontology. So the ontos in Greek, it means the foundational elements, the foundational building blocks, the root elements of things which are existing in the world. It's not like the periodic table, it's much more deeper than that. So the Sankhya philosophy, there is 24 elements given, and there is also Ishvara, there is also the Supreme Lord. And this Sankhya philosophy is very important because the Vedic system of philosophy prides itself that it's a systematic philosophy. Just like when you study other world religions, which they are known as Laukika Dharma, which means the religions which are given according to time, place and circumstance, some limited revelation is given. They are not presented so systematically. Just like if you read the Old Testament, if you read the Bible, if you read some now extinct religions, if you read the Greek epics, if you really read Gilgamesh, different epics which have some mythological stories and some philosophy, there is some knowledge there. There is some good knowledge there. Just like Jesus, he taught some good knowledge. In the Old Testament, there's a lot of also nice knowledge. But it's not a systematic, step-by-step presentation of knowledge. So that's unique feature, especially of the Vedic philosophy. Although you may find some other systematic philosophies. In Europe we have Greek philosophy, it's a little bit more systematic. But they also are missing a very important part, which is theology. There is not a very systematic, monotheistic philosophy. So therefore the Vedas are very, very important. And one reason is because they give a very systematic description of what exists in this world. So there is a different elements which are given in the Sankhya philosophy. So ultimately everything is coming from Purusha. So therefore in Vedanta Sutra it's explained that Atato Brahma Jigyasa and then Janmadi Asayataha. So first it's explaining that now you have come to this human form of life. Now you are in the correct position to inquire. Now you should inquire what is Brahma, what is spirit, what is transcendence, what is metaphysics. And Brahma, first point, then Janmadi Asayataha, that from which everything is coming. So ultimately everything is coming from God. And that is the factor of intelligence which we can understand in this world, that we may be a big PhD, we may be a big scholar, we may have a very good qualification in astrophysics, we may be very educated in data science. But actually intelligence, ultimately, if you look more on a foundational sense, it means to be able to understand what are the causal relationships in this world, what is cause and effect. Just like science, empirical science, they're studying the effect and by that they're trying to find out the cause. That's why they're studying this world. And not only that, you have to study causal relationships, but you also have to be able to categorize what is different types of knowledge. So the most important step in understanding knowledge is to understand where everything comes from. Because when you know where everything comes from, then you can understand how to see everything in context to its origin, how to see everything in context to its ultimate existence. What is its ultimate cause? What is its ultimate purpose? So therefore, when we study this world, we can see that there are many things which exist, but ultimately, everything must come from a personal cause, because the thing which is studying something is considered to be superior to the thing that's studied, right? That's like if there is a piece of wood here, I can experience the wood, but the wood doesn't know me. So that's called Kshetragya, that's described in the Bhagavad Gita. The Sankhya philosophy is presented by Kapila and also Bhagavad Gita and other places. So when we understand that ultimately if I am personal, then if whatever exists in this world in the effect is there, it must come from the cause. Therefore, the ultimate aspect of the cause must also be personal. So that's why it's called Ishvara. Ishvara means one who is the controller, Isha. And Ishvara also means one who creates the laws. So therefore we can see even in Greek philosophy, they're describing the unmoved mover, that there are many things in this world which are put into motion. There are many things in this world which are contingent, which they're dependent on things for existence. But there must be a mover who is not moved, otherwise you'll have an infinite regress of cause, effect, cause, effect, cause, effect. So that is described very nicely in Brahma Samhita, that sarva karana karanam, that Ishvara or God is the ultimate cause of everything, the cause of all causes. And how can we understand that? Because if you have cause, effect, everything is contingent, everything is controlled by laws of Srishti, Sthiti and Pralaya. Everything is becoming created, maintained and destroyed in this world. But if these are the laws of material nature, the only cause, the ultimate cause, must be the lawmaker, because only the lawmaker is beyond the laws. There is a nice lecture by His Grace Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who some of you are aware of. So I very much like one presentation that he makes there. He says that when we are describing the pastimes of the Lord, people, they become very doubtful. Just like not only Kapila, we hear many other incarnations which are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada is describing that the six different types of incarnations, Guna Avatar, Manvantara Avatar, like that. There are up to six different types of avatars. So the Leela Avatar, they're using, the Krishna is using all of his different forms to display many various pastimes which are very wonderful and which are very inconceivable. That's like Krishna is lifting up a huge mountain on his small finger. And we see Varaha Dev, he's lifting up just on the tusk. So there are many pastimes which you can see, they are very inconceivable, very hard to understand. The scientists, they will say, this is just mythology. That how can somebody lift up a mountain on a small finger? But you can see there is a logical issue with that kind of statement. Because if these descriptions are of God, then sure, they say, okay, God cannot lift up a mountain because it's not possible. And then if God, he acts like an ordinary man, then they will say, oh, he's not God, he's just an ordinary man. So then God is stuck, because if he does something extraordinary, then you say it's a mythology. And when he does something which is ordinary, then you say, how can he be God? So you get stuck. That's why even Lord Chaitanya, he came as Channavatar, he came as hidden avatar, he came in the form of devotee. But still he had to display some very, the Lord also displayed some very unique pastime which nobody could imitate. So we can see that the forms of the Lord, they all have inconceivable pastimes. They are beyond the material laws of nature, because God is the one who creates the laws. So therefore it's not possible for the modern doubters, the modern atheists, to deny these pastimes based on that logic, because if these pastimes are about the Lord, then surely God, he can do anything, because God is the one who creates the laws. And if he creates the laws, then surely he will act beyond the laws. So therefore it's completely rational and logical that if a God exists, he will act like this. He will do very unique and wonderful, extraordinary pastimes. So one of the important aspects of the teaching is, apart from Bhakti Yoga, is the Sankhya philosophy. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is describing that there are different ways of approaching transcendence. So he's explaining in the Gita. that Sankhya Yoga Prithak Bala Pravaranti Na Pandita Ekam Api Astita Samyak Ubayor Vindate Phalam. That only the ignorant speak of Karma Yoga, Prabhupada is translating, and devotional service as being different from the analytical study of the material world, or Sankhya. Those who are actually learned say that he who applies himself well to one of these paths achieves the results of both. So in other words, both aspects are very important. The Sankhya philosophy, the knowledge, the analytical study of the world, or the jnana, and also the process of devotional service. Prabhupada explained, they speak of them as being different from analytical study. Because all of these things, they are favorable for our spiritual life. Therefore, Kapila, he's coming to teach also this systematic knowledge. And we can see in Bhagavad Gita that although devotion, love for God is very important, but also an understanding based on that systematically of what is God is also very important. So therefore, six chapters of Bhagavad Gita, they are dedicated for the Jnana Yoga. And it's described that there are different types of analogies given in Bhagavad Gita to show the importance of this transcendental knowledge, of this devotional service and the knowledge of devotional service. Just like the knowledge is described as the Jnana Plava, that it's the boat which will transport you. So knowledge will transport you across the ocean of material existence to the spiritual planet. And not only that, but Jnana Asina, that the knowledge is also like a sword. Because the sword is the thing which cuts away the obstacles and cuts away the weeds in our life. Just like if we're running through the jungle and there are many weeds, many blockages, we have to cut down the weeds. So in the same way, these weeds, they're contaminating our consciousness. So therefore, it's also described Jnana Asina. And then what is another example which is given? The Jnana Deepa, the knowledge, the light of knowledge. So that's also very important. And we see that is explained many times in different places. Just like Oma Gyanati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya. That the Lord, the Guru, He's opening our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. And the knowledge is also described in Vedic texts that it's also used, the word for light is also used as a synonym for knowledge. Tamasima Jyotirgamaya, that go out of darkness, enter into the light. So what is that light? That is the knowledge of the Vedas. So therefore there are many examples of how knowledge is important, which we can see in Bhagavad Gita. There is one more, Jnana, Blava, Jnana, Deepa. What is the last one? Does anyone remember? Jnana Chakshu, maybe? The eye of knowledge, maybe. I don't remember. So there are different examples given in the Bhagavad Gita.
Axe. Cut down the trees of the rooted material
world. Cut down the roots of material world, yeah. Thank you, Prabhu. So the knowledge is very important. So not only is he giving the Sankhya philosophy, but he's also giving the knowledge of devotional service. And he's described in Bhagavatam that after he also taught his mother very perfectly, in this verse it said, and she also became fully cleansed of the mud of the material modes, and thereby achieve liberation. So it's very interesting. In this text, it's explaining here that... where is it? Atmagatim. So there are many different words we can use to describe this process of becoming liberated or free from the modes and going back to the spiritual world. So one is Atmagatim. And Prabhupada is translating here Atmagatim, spiritual realization. So this is also self-realization. Atma, it means the self. That's why sometimes we say the term self-realization. But ultimately self-realization is also, if you understand properly who are you, then inherent in that understanding means to understand properly who is God. Because as Krishna explains that Pitaham Asya Jagato, Krishna is the father of everyone in this universe. So therefore if you want to understand who am I, part of who am I means who are my parents. And not only he says he is the father, he says also mother. So really to have self-realization means to know fully who I am, which means to first know where do I come from and who are my parents. So therefore, Prabhupada, he gives two other synonyms of Atmagatim in the last part of the purport. Another one is Brahmagatim. So Brahma, it means the spiritual goal, the spiritual realization. And he also gives their name Kapila Srigatim, because obviously here it's teaching about Kapila. And this Prabhupada explains in the purport that all of the different avatars of the Lord, they have their relevant planets in the spiritual world. So it's explained that actually it's possible to attain Kapila Srigatim, the abode of the Lord, Kapila, without any difficulty. And he says a very nice thing, which is a unique way of explaining. Prabhupada says in the last sentence, the antiseptic potency of devotional service. So devotional service, described in many ways, is also described as a fire which burns away the material contamination. And here it's described as an antiseptic. And it's also described as a purifier of the three modes in the text. So this is a very interesting example Prabhupada is giving here. The antiseptic potency of devotional service is so great that it can neutralize the material infection, even in the present life of a devotee. Devotional service is so wholesome that it can be described in these many ways. Because ultimately devotional service is the only thing which will free us very nicely from these three modes of material nature. It's explained in Bhagavad Gita that these three modes of material nature, they're very, very hard to overcome. There are many people in this world, they're trying to overcome the three modes of material nature. Whether it be the speculators, whether it be the scientists, everyone is trying to conquer the laws of this material world. But ultimately nobody can conquer. They're very, very hard. The only way it can be conquered is by devotional service. So therefore, in order to become free from suffering, we require this transcendental knowledge, and then we require to act on that knowledge, that's devotional service. And the importance of Kapila is there, because at that time the knowledge was required to be spread. And Krishna describes that in Bhagavad Gita, that yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shrijami aham. That whenever there is a necessity of re-establishing religion and removing the irreligious elements, then the Lord comes in order to teach this knowledge, to revive this knowledge once again. Therefore he preserves the parampara system, he preserves the Vedic culture in the society. So avatara is very important. In English we say incarnation, but that is we're using in the rough sense of the term, loose sense of the term. Because as you know, in English it's a very arbitrary language, the way the words are composed, being a very hybrid language. Because incarnate, carne in Latin means flesh. But actually, the Lord, when He comes, He takes a spiritual body. But some people, they may doubt. They will say, look, even in this verse, the first word it's saying is took birth. Jagya, He took birth, it says. But what do we understand by that? We understand, although Kapila, He appeared to have human form, He appeared to take birth, all of these things, He is not controlled by the material nature. Therefore it's explained in the Bhagavad Gita that all of the incarnation of the Lord, what is a unique quality? That janma karma cha mai divyam evam yoveti tatvataha chaktva dehar punajanma naiti mameti swarjuna. That you must understand, that the pastimes of the Lord, the janma and karma, the activities of the Lord, the birth of the Lord, they're all divyam, they're all transcendental. So the Lord, although He takes birth, that birth is a spiritual birth, and He's doing of His own will. So that's also described nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nato natya dorayata. He's appearing just like an actor on stage. So the actor, he may also look like he's dying in the theatre, or nowadays we can say in the movies. But we know that when the actor is doing the performance, he's not actually dying. He's just displaying some pastime. Why? To enjoy. So Krishna, He only comes in this world to display pastimes. Although He comes to teach, He can also send His representatives. But the Lord also comes to enjoy His leelas, pastimes, and to attract us back to the spiritual world. So therefore, although it's saying here that the Lord is born, we must understand that He is actually doing a spiritual birth. It's a spiritual, it's a transcendental birth, which is not under the laws of material nature. Generally, when we think certain things are there in the laws of material nature, therefore, if you follow something which appears to be under the laws, you are under the laws. But that is actually an incorrect premise, because you can also do something which appears under the laws, but you are not under the laws. Just like a parent, sometimes a parent, they may chastise the child, and the kid does not listen five times, six times. So then they think, okay, maybe I have to use some anger now, so the child gets scared, and then they behave. But the parent is not angry. As soon as they chastise the child, they again continue speaking to their friend sitting next to them, and they are completely peaceful. So the Lord, He's also doing something similar like that. He's coming into this world, and He's appearing in birth, He's appearing in a family, and He's doing His duties. Why? To give a good example to us, and also to make us be able to relate to Him more easily. So therefore Kapila, He's giving this great mercy on the world by this teaching of Bhagavata Dharma. And it's explained in the last sentence of this chapter, sorry, in the last sentence of this verse, that she became fully cleansed of the mud of the material modes, and thereby she attained liberation. So this is another example, that the mud is there, just like in our vision. Sometimes if you have glasses, then when the glasses become very dusty, you cannot see. And then when you cannot see, you may trip over and get hurt. So therefore the mud is very dangerous. And that mud, that's known as the Maya. We have both the internal potency of the Lord and the external potency of the Lord. So the Mahamaya, the function of Mahamaya is two things, that Avaranam and Vikshepam. That first role of Maya is that she covers us over. That's called Avaranam. So the mud is just like that. The mud of the material mode, it covers us over. Just like if you're very muddy, then your skin becomes completely covered and your clothes become completely brown. And then, once you become covered, then Maya throws you down into the pit of material existence. Just like it's explained that in espionage or in the battle, sometimes the way they conquer the enemy is they first cover the eyes of the enemy and then they can capture the enemy. You see that also in strategic warfare. That's like when a country is invaded, what are the first things which they invade? The first thing is they come and they take over the radio systems, they come and take over the television, they take over the communication methods. And then once they control that, then it's very easy to manipulate and control the population. So Maya has the same thing. First she will cover us over, and we become very confused that what's happening. Or maybe there's no God, I don't know. If there's a God, why do we suffer in this world? Maybe I am God. So we're always having these doubts. And then we start to try to enjoy the material world. So that is the nature of Maya. So these are the three modes of material nature. So Kapila, he's coming to clean this mud. So therefore Prabhupada gives, that's the reason why Prabhupada, he gives this particular metaphor, that it's like an antiseptic. Because antiseptic is there to help kill the bad bacteria, the bad viruses in this world. So ultimately, although now there is a mini, I don't know what's the word, epidemic in Alachua, more than 100 devotees are very sick, but ultimately the most deepest contamination which you must purify is what is described here, the mud of the material modes. So therefore we can take shelter of all of these incarnations of the Lord. We heard already two previously to the last 2 days, and we'll hear about more in the upcoming days. So we must take shelter of this knowledge of the Lord, these pastimes of the Lord, and this devotional service of the Lord. And as we know, especially in this age, devotional service is coming by chanting the holy names of the Lord congregationally. So we can contemplate deeply these teachings of Kapila, especially in relationship to this verse, and we can also become free from this mud which is contaminating us. And therefore we can attain the success of Krishna Prema. So thank you very much. There is about 10 minutes left. If there are any questions or comments, please. Thank you.
Very nice. Lord Kapila also in detail, he described the misery of birth. The misery of birth, disease, old age and death. He also explained the journey of the soul to the hellish planet. Very essential teaching, and he gave details about them. How to meditate on the personal form of the Lord in detail also. How you start from the feet and so on. So very interesting. And the last point you were talking about cleanse the mud. I think there is a pun there, because Devahuti herself, her body was covered in mud, you know, like if by serving Kardama Muni. And so when the verse states that that he cleansed the mud of materialism, you know what I mean? It's like upon him. On Devahuti also. Yeah, very, very interesting. Very nice class. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Very nice.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu. I've been trying to understand how Sankhya is the same as devotional service. Because Sankhya seems like a very ascending process. Maybe you can speak about how they might be the same.
Yes. So Sankhya, although you're studying the elements of this world, the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, etc., ultimately coming up to the Mahatattva, everything, but ultimately the source of everything is Ishvara. So there is some types of Sankhya people which they deny God. So there is two types of, there are two Kapilas actually. So there is another Sankhya where people, they're atheistic, but we are following the theistic Sankhya. So the Sankhya philosophy is very important because Krishna wants to help us to come up to Him. So in order to come up to Him nicely and with strong intelligence, therefore intelligence is described as very important in Bhagavad Gita, then we require a very clear understanding of what is the world, what are the three modes, and then by the mercy of the Lord and with this knowledge together, then it's very easy to transcend this world by knowledge. So therefore the Sankhya is important because it provides a very clean foundation to understand the later, more deeper aspects of the philosophy. Because when the foundation is not strong, just like on a building, I heard Florida is like a sinkhole, so it's some places they sink suddenly. So we can also see, like in Venice, the city is sinking because the foundation is not steady. So the Sankhya philosophy is very important because it gives us a very clear understanding of who are we, what is God, and what is the elements of this world. And then it makes it easy to understand the three modes of material nature, understand karma, understand reincarnation. And all of these we keep building up and we reach the full realization of God. Especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, with all of the different incarnations and the tenth canto, all of the intimate pastimes of Krishna. But we need a very strong foundation. So therefore, it helps you develop faith in the beginning and also a strong foundation. So this is my realization. If anyone has more points on this, they can also share.
So if the real Sankhya is delivered or taught by a devotee or the Lord's incarnation, like Kapila. Yeah.
Exactly.
Is it kind of like in battle, you want to know the enemy. So Sankhya is teaching us about the enemy. So we can understand the obstacles we have to go through in order to get purified or in order to get the mercy of Krishna. But it's educating us so that our determination can be strong.
Very nice. Thank you. Anything else? If not, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Kapila Dev ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.